The old-time radio era, sometimes referred to as the golden age of radio, was an era during which radio was the dominant home entertainment medium. Families regularly gathered around to tune into their favorite programs. Enjoy today's special nostalgic broadcast as Project Independence and You presents the old-time radio.
It's time now for Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons. One of the most famous characters of American fiction in one of radio's most thrilling dramas. Tonight and every Thursday at the same time, the famous old investigator takes from his file and brings to us one of his most celebrated missing persons cases. Tonight's transcribed case is entitled The Skull and Crossbones Murder Case. And the Skull and Crossbones Murder Case. Our scene opens in a handsome mansion that fronts both fashionable Fifth Avenue and a side street in New York. An elderly man and his young wife are just finishing their dinner and are being served by a housekeeper, a woman with graying hair. The diners are eating quietly, but somehow there's an air of brooding in the large and well-furnished dining room, as if in prophecy of trouble.
Will you have a piece of pie, Mr. Barker?
No, thank you, Emily.
But it's your favorite pie, Lemuel. Aren't you feeling well?
I'm quite all right, Audrey. I'll just have some coffee.
I'll pour it for you, Mr. Barker.
Thank you, Emily.
Lemuel, something's been bothering you this evening.
Not really, my dear.
I wish you'd tell me. I can see you're worried.
Let's finish our coffee, Audrey, and we'll discuss it inside. Frankly, I have something on my mind. Audrey, it's coffee.
Lemuel, what's the matter? Lemuel!
What's happened, Mrs. Barker?
My husband, he's fainted.
His eyes. Mrs. Barker, look at his eyes. He hasn't fainted. He's dead.
When the police took my husband's body for an autopsy, Mr. Keene, they found he'd been poisoned. A very powerful poison had been put in the coffee he drank. A poison that reacted in a matter of seconds.
You were fortunate not to have drunk some of that poisoned coffee yourself, Mrs. Barker.
Well, Emily Cross, our housekeeper, served Lemuel, my husband, first. He'd drunk his coffee before I was starting to drink mine. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here now telling you and your partner, Mr. Clancy, my story and asking for your help.
And the police believe it was not accidental poisoning, but murder?
Yes, Mr. Keene. And they believe they have a suspect in the case, but they have to find her first.
Are you referring to your housekeeper?
Yes. Emily Cross left the house before the police arrived, and she hasn't been seen since.
Well, sure, that's pretty good proof that she's trying to hide something.
Yes, Mike, it is.
Mr. Keene, I've come here to ask you to help find Emily Cross. I owe it to my husband to do everything I can to find his murderer and do justice to his memory. A memory that I'll always keep with me as long as I live.
You were fond of your husband, weren't you, Mrs. Barker?
We hadn't been married very long, Mr. Keene, only a year, but it was one of the happiest years of my life. If I knew 1 week ago what I know now, maybe I could have saved him. But he only tried to tell me when it was too late.
Your husband tried to tell you what, Mrs. Barker?
The evening Lemuel was poisoned, he seemed to be very worried about something.
Yes, yes, you mentioned that before.
After the police came, Mr. Keene, we found out what was on his mind. In his pocket was a small label, and on the label was a picture of his skull and crossbones.
Saints preserve us. A skull and crossbones? Where did it come from?
My husband had evidently gotten it as a warning, Mr. Clancy, and that's what he was worried about.
Do you have that label by any chance, Mrs. Barker?
Police have it, Mr. Keene.
All right, I'll check with them about it.
Police feel that it might have been sent to my husband by Emily Cross, our housekeeper, as part of some kind of a blackmailing scheme.
Hmm. How did they come to that conclusion?
Well, I had to tell them the truth about Emily, even though I knew how bad it would make things look for her.
The truth?
She'd been keeping house for Lemuel for 11 years. Lemuel came to New York originally from Nevada, where he made a fortune in silver and retired when he was about 45. He bought the townhouse on Fifth Avenue and lived in it alone until a year ago when he married me. Emily Cross and another servant took care of the house.
I see.
Before our marriage, Lemuel had been a bachelor, and I think Emily had hoped that one day... Well...
That he'd marry her?
Yes, Mr. Keene. I knew Emily resented me from the very beginning, although she never dared to show it. For my part, I tried to get along with her, knowing that Lemuel wanted peace and quiet in his home.
In other words, Mrs. Barker, the police think the housekeeper, Emily Cross, wanted to marry your husband for his money. When she failed, she tried to blackmail him out of a large sum.
That's what they think, Mr. Keene.
Well, sure, there might be more than one angle to it, boss.
I agree with my partner, Mrs. Barker. This case may not be as simple as it sounds. Now, what about your husband's friends and acquaintances? Do you know of anyone who bore a grudge against him?
Oh, no, Mr. Keene, no one. Lemuel led a quiet life and a simple one in spite of our wealth. He had only one living relative, a nephew named Peter Hunt. Certainly, Peter had nothing but respect and gratitude for his uncle. Lemuel had been very generous with Peter financially, even setting him up in a business for himself.
Tell me, was the nephew Peter Hunt mentioned in your husband's will?
I don't know, Mr. Keene. The will hasn't been read yet. It's only been 24 hours since Lemuel's murder, and I haven't even spoken to our attorneys yet.
Well, I'm going to pay a visit to your home this afternoon, Mrs. Barker, after I've contacted the police and learned what they've discovered. Meanwhile, suppose you wait at home for me and try to keep calm and patient.
Oh, just knowing that you're going to help the police solve this case is enough to ease my mind, Mr. Keene. I can't tell you how grateful I am.
Well, you can expect to see us again around 5 this afternoon, Mrs. Barker.
Very well. And thank you again. Goodbye, Mr. Clancy.
So long, Mrs. Barker.
Goodbye, Mr. Keene.
Goodbye.
Sure, in the way it looks from here, Mr. Keene, that housekeeper, Emily Cross, has got a lot of explaining to do.
Well, it seems to me, Mike, that anyone who deliberately planned a murder of this kind would be a little more careful. When a man is poisoned by food or drink, the first one who comes under suspicion is the person who prepared it for him. Now, Emily Cross, the housekeeper, must have known that. And yet...
All right, I'll get it, boss. Mr. Keene's office.
Is this Mr. Keene?
No, this is his partner, Mike Clancy.
Please put Mr. Keene on the telephone. It's very important.
Well, who's this calling?
My name is Emily Cross.
Just a second. Boss, it's Emily Cross, the housekeeper the police are looking for.
Let me take it, Mike. Hello? Hello? Hello?
What's the trouble, boss?
I think she's hung up, Mike. Hello?
Well, she told me her name was Emily Cross, Mr. Keene, and she sounded scared.
She either wanted my help or there was something she wanted to reveal. She may have lost her courage at the last moment. At any rate, Mike, it may prove one thing. This case doesn't begin and end with Emily Cross. Not if she would take a chance on calling me, knowing she is wanted for murdering Lemuel Barker.
Well, I guess we'd better report that phone call to the police, Mr. Keene.
Yes, I intend to. And after that, we'll visit Lemuel Barker's Fifth Avenue mansion and begin our investigation there.
Barker's home certainly is a showplace, Mr. Keene. Look at the size of it.
One of those old mansions formerly owned by a New York millionaire, Mike.
Mr. Keene, look. There's someone at the ground floor window, looking out into the street.
Young man. I wonder if that's Lemuel Barker's nephew, Peter Hunt.
He's turned away from the window now.
Well, let's go in, Mike. Mike, there's a letter here on the doorstep, partly under the door.
Oh, I have it, Mr. Keene. It's addressed to Mrs. Audrey Barker.
Yes?
We've come to see Mrs. Barker.
Oh, you must be Mr. Keene and Mr. Clancy. Audrey told me you were coming. Please come in, gentlemen. My name's Ted Garrett. I am a friend of the family. Here's Audrey now.
Oh, Mr. Keene, Mr. Clancy, I'm glad to see you. I don't believe you've met Ted Garrett.
We've just introduced ourselves, Audrey. And now I've got to run along. Remember, if there's anything I can do...
You've been wonderful, Ted. I, not tell you how much you've helped me in every way.
Well, at least I know I'm leaving you in good hands with Mr. Keene. I'll call you in a day or so, Audrey.
Very well, Ted.
Glad to have met you, Mr. Keene. Mr. Clancy.
Likewise.
Good day, Mr. Garrett.
Ted Garrett worked for my husband as a private secretary at one time, Mr. Keene. He left Lemuel for another position right after our marriage.
He's a strikingly handsome young man.
Yes, he is. He's been urged to make a career of the stage, but it doesn't seem to interest him.
Oh, there's a letter for you, Mrs. Barker. We found it outside your door.
A letter? But I don't recognize the handwriting. Excuse me, I'll open it.
Well, Mike, we'd better examine the kitchen.
Mr. Keene.
What is it?
Look what I found inside this envelope.
Yes, preserve us. It's a picture of a skull and crossbones.
Let me see that, Mrs. Barker.
Mr. Keene, it's the same warning my husband received before he was murdered. It means I'm marked for death, too.
Now, take it easy, Mrs. Barker. No one's going to harm you as long as we're here.
Look at this skull and crossbones, Mike. You recognize it?
Well, it looks like one of them labels you find on a bottle of iodine or some other poison when you buy it at the druggist.
That's exactly what it is. It was taken from a bottle of poison, but it wasn't an iodine bottle. The label's too large for that. Mrs. Barker, where is the kitchen?
Come with me, Mr. Keene.
There's a service entrance to this house, isn't there, Mrs. Barker?
Yes, there are two. Part of the house fronts on the side street, and both the doors are there. One is for tradesmen and one for servants. This is the door to the kitchen and pantry, Mr. Keene.
We'll have to make a systematic search through all the cabinets, Mike. Suppose you start...
What was that?
Sounded like a door slamming.
Well, it may have been one of the bedroom doors upstairs, Mr. Keene. When a door is left open up there, a draft often slams it shut.
Is anyone upstairs?
I don't think so.
Maybe I'd better have a look, boss.
Yes, Mike, go ahead.
Oh, Mr. Keene, you think there may be someone else in the house?
Well, if there is, we'll find out soon enough, Mrs. Barker. And I'll keep my gun handy, just in case. Stand where you are, young fella.
What?
Don't move or I'll shoot.
Who are you?
That's a question you'll answer first.
If you're a thief...
I'm a private investigator, mister. My name is Mike Clancy. What's yours?
Oh, Peter Hunt.
Peter Hunt? You're Mr. Barker's nephew, eh?
Yes.
Well, what are you doing up here snooping around the hall?
I dropped in for some things I left here several weeks ago when I spent a weekend with Uncle Lemuel and his wife. Would you mind putting that gun away? It frightens me.
Well, you could have told Mrs. Barker you were here. Come on downstairs with me, young fella.
I'm in a hurry. I mean, get out of my way.
Hey, come back here. What's up, Mike? Look out, Mr. Keene. He's running for the stairs.
Just a moment, young man.
Let go of me. All right, boss. I'll handle it from here.
Let me go, do you hear?
Stay put, I say.
You're tearing my clothes.
Be
I see.
Quiet or I'll use my gun on you.
All right, Mike. Let him go. Who is this young man?
Well, he says he's Mr. Barker's nephew, boss. Peter Hunt.
Look what you've done. You pulled my coat sleeve off and torn my shirt.
So I see. Mike, look at his right forearm.
Mr. Keene.
What's the matter? What are you looking at? It's only a tattoo on my arm.
Yes, a tattoo of a skull and crossbones. Mike, it's a replica of that label. Something tells me that Emily Cross, the housekeeper, isn't the only one in this case who has to do a great deal of explaining.
In just a moment, we'll return to Mr. Keene and the Skull and Crossbones murder case.